relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
If you thought 2016 was important, 2020 is going to be the greatest, most significant election of your lifetime. As a result, we've created a unique additional podcast with our regular guest in studio, former special assistant to President Trump, Boris Epstein. It's called The Battle for 1600. Join us today by subscribing to the podcast for free. Just look for my name, Boris Epstein, and The Battle for 1600.
You are listening to America First with Sebastian Gorka, former strategist to President Donald J. Trump.
He's one of your very favorite guests here, a regular on America First. He is the author of the superlative work, The Case for Trump, and senior fellow at Stanford University's Hoover Institution, Professor Victor Davis Hanson. Welcome back to America First.
Thank you for having me.
So we are a day or so away from what predicts what has been presaged to be one of the most important elections ever for our republic. I try and eschew predictions, but sometimes one is forced. I see two potential scenarios, Professor, I'd like to test with you. One, an overwhelming landslide for the president to such an extent that even if the outlying mail-in ballots were to still be counted, he is able to declare at midnight tomorrow night that he has more than 270 electoral college votes, and he comes out and he makes the speech saying, "Thank you, America, I'm back." The other one, especially given recent pronouncements in key states such as Pennsylvania, where you have attorneys general, state secretaries saying they will not certify until every single mail-in ballot has been counted and has arrived, is that there's no capacity to say that there is any candidate, either candidate, has 270, and immediately the whole thing goes to the courts for weeks, potentially months, and is dragged out in a legal battle. Do you agree with either of those, or do you have another expectation, Professor Hanson?
Something in between, very quickly, I think more akin to the 2016 scenario, in which he wins by anywhere from 20 to 80,000 votes in enough swing states to make likely voting fraud in Pennsylvania either irrelevant because you still will win Pennsylvania or that he wouldn't need Pennsylvania. My biggest, when I look at the data and I try to read all of these different, I don't see that the pollsters who are predicting almost unanimously, except for four or five polls, that he's going to lose, have learned anything from 2016. They don't seem to tell us, well, this is what we're doing different. And then the ones that make an attempt, Jim Garrity in National Review today, for example, say, well, this is how much they were wrong in each state with Hillary, and Trump is beyond that margin. So even if they have a 3 or 4 point margin of error like they did, it still won't be enough for Trump, but they think they're it's static. Biden, for all of Hillary's problem, Biden is a worse candidate than Hillary was. Two, we're in a COVID situation where a lot of Democratic voters are terrified to show up, and their mail-in balloting has not so far produced the results they wanted. They're going to have to rely more on Election Day balloting. They've scared their own voters. We haven't taken any consideration of the 1.5 million students at these huge universities, Michigan State, Iowa State, Iowa, Ohio State, Florida, Arizona, that are not present where they registered, are not going to vote in herd fashion. I know at Stanford it's 95%. Of those 12,000 people vote, and Stanford's population is nothing compared to these huge land-grant universities. Also, when they say a certain percentage of the party has or has not come out in early voting, and they use that to make these models. I think there's a much larger percentage of Democrats, especially minority voters, are not going to vote with their party affiliation.
And how telling is it that in just the last 48 hours, you've seen some desperate backpedaling and some quote-unquote recalibration from key pollsters saying that Biden may be in trouble in certain states? Is that all the proof we need that these polling companies really have not done anything substantial to fix the methodology that got them into trouble the last time?
Well, Sebastian, that's a charitable interpretation. I tend to agree with it, but a cynic might say that they have deliberately ginned up these polls for 2 to 3 months in expectation they would create momentum when they knew that the race was far closer than what their statistics said that they published. And so then, as in 2016, when all of a sudden Hillary miraculously was almost dead even the day of the election, now they've made it much closer because they feel they've done all the damage they can do while not completely ruining their reputation. So they make it look a little bit closer as we get in. And I think there's a lot of a truth to that. So, yeah, I think that as far as the backpedaling, Nate Silver gave us months of pseudoscientific analysis that said Trump has 1 in 99 chances of winning the popular vote. Pennsylvania was all but dead. And then 10 days ago, he said, Democrats, you don't need to win Pennsylvania. Biden can win without it. And then now he's saying yesterday, it's going to be very hard to win for Biden if he doesn't win Pennsylvania. So what's going up? Because I don't think he falls into that cynical category. I think he's a true believer. And he feels that he's using data. But the problem is, he's a computer statistician or he's an analyst, but he doesn't gather the data. So he can have any model he wants. But if you put the wrong data in it, and we know what the wrong data is, that there are 5% of the electorate at least will not tell you they're going to vote for Donald Trump.
And when Silver and the state secretary of Pennsylvania say things to the effect that if Donald Trump wins, or he can only win if there is cheating, shouldn't there be consequences for that kind of a statement?
Well, it's hard to know in a free society, given all the stuff that's gone on. I mean, whether it's big tech telling us that they have a certain set of rules of evidentiary proof that you must reach before they'll air an allegation completely non-applicable to the Steele dossier or Donald Trump's tax returns, but suddenly completely applicable to the Hunter Biden trove. So it's just something we're living with. And I wrote a piece in American Greatness today that this will be a phenomenal win, I think, for Donald Trump, because he had no institution on his side, not the retired military, not big tech, not banks, not Wall Street, not Silicon Valley, not the foundations, not the bipartisan elite, not big money, media, entertainment, Hollywood, professional sports. I don't know one cultural, political, economic lever that was used to help his candidacy. All he had was the people.
And you've called him a counter-revolutionary today, and we're posting the article right now. In that vein, are these rhetorical flourishes, or does it matter when you have, for example, the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette for the first time ever endorse the Republican candidate, or when you have national or state and regional law enforcement associations, firefighter associations come out wholeheartedly for this Republican candidate? Does that tip the scales, or is that just an extra flourish in all the noise?
I think there's endorsements and then there's endorsements. So if a black entertainer or a black conservative politician endorses Donald Trump, it's not going to matter as much as Lil Wayne. Or if you have a conservative paper, but a paper that has not endorsed a Republican in memory, yeah, that matters. Or union members that are solid Democratic, but they say no this year. It's sort of what Ronald Reagan did in both 1980 and 1984. He created a Ronald Reagan workers, blue dog, Reagan Democrat, whatever you want to call them, workers party. And when you see that grassroots endorsement from people that you otherwise would not. That was the problem with McCain and Romney. Every time they wanted to get an endorsement, they went to the elite, or they went to an old has-been, or they went to somebody that had no cultural influence. But these people do have cultural resonance. You know, when working class people who buck the union, newspapers who say, you know what, this time we can't be neutral. Yeah, it makes a difference.
The article is at AmericanGreatness.com. We're posting it right now. The book is The Case for Trump. He's Professor Victor Davis Hanson. Follow him at VD Hanson on Twitter. He'll be with us for one more segment as usual. Last 60 seconds in this segment for Professor. If the president, if God willing, the president is reelected, does that change American politics forever?
It depends on how he's elected. If he's elected with 20%,
18. Oh, we've frozen there. That's an excellent, excellent cliffhanger. If he's elected, Professor?
Yes.
We lost you there for a second. You said if he's voted with 20%?
Yeah, if he wins 20% of the black vote or 30 to 40% of the Hispanic vote, that will recalibrate this coalition politics. And what he does with it, if he announces the day after he's elected, I'm going to go through the DOJ and I'm going to go through the Pentagon, I'm going to go through the NSA.
It will be absolutely a revolutionary change. We've had far too much tribal politics in this nation, and God willing, it will be broken. But it's up to us. He's the Hoover Institution Senior Fellow, author of The Case for Trump. Follow him, V.D. Hanson. We'll be back with the good professor here on America First after these messages. Don't touch that dial.
This is President Trump, and Sebastian is really a friend of mine. He's a great guy. He's been with me from the beginning. Listen to him. We all learn.
Thank you, Mr. President. It's down to the wire. It can happen, but only if we get out to vote and if we take our friends with us. Get all the information you need. If you take three of your friends to the polling stations, then we can win. Go to keepamericaamerica.com for all the local polling information. Already almost 500,000 of you have gone to that website and taken the pledge to make sure we have the largest conservative mobilization in history. Do a little, do a lot. Just do your part. Go right now to keepamericaamerica.com. He is a military historian. He is a strategist. He is the author of The Case for Trump, senior fellow with the Hoover Institution, a regular on America First, Professor Victor Davis Hanson. Professor, we are not far from the White House where we broadcast. Massive obstacles, fences, walls are being constructed. If you walk outside, you will see shop after shop after shop boarded up, and not with thin plywood, but with serious construction boarding because they're expecting violence. It's not going to be Trump voters that do that violence, if we look at the last 10 months in America. Whoever wins, is it not likely that there will be violence on the streets of America, Professor?
I think so. I think if it's close, I think I'm a little cynical here again, that a lot of this violence will be positioned in the media and big tech as, well, this is what Donald Trump caused. It should be a wake-up call to all you federal judges, you Supreme Court judges, because the people will not stand for your partisanship, so you have to rule favorably. So it's a very brilliant peremptory strategy, and I think it will be with cheek and jowl approved by the mayors, the local DAs of these blue cities and states, and that's disturbing. But they have to also remember Donald Trump's win or lose is not up for re-election. And so he's not worried of the retired military. So if he wants to federalize these National Guard that will either can't or won't enforce the law, he's perfectly able to do that. And I think he will.
So you expect, because this would be his final term, that the restraint he has demonstrated waiting for governors to acquiesce in the deployment of forces will be a matter of ancient history, and he will use force and come down like a hammer if the peace is threatened in the capital or elsewhere?
Yeah, I think so. I think he'll do what George H.W. Bush did after the Rodney King riots. He'll call the military and say, remember, for all the criticism of Donald Trump when he envisioned perhaps doing that, and, Colin Powell said he got very angry, but it was Colin Powell who called George H.W. Bush up and said, I've got the Marines when you want them, Mr. President. Just give me a call. So they all knew what they were doing, that they were creating a new sense of alarm when in the past they had been perfectly willing to ensure that citizens were safe and the streets were orderly, even if that required the federalization of National Guard or the use of federal troops.
And are you not concerned when we see not just retired general and flag officers, but we see the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, Mark Milley, make quasi-political statements distancing themselves from the commander-in-chief chosen by the American people? Do you have any qualms or any issues with potentially the president not being able to exercise his duties as commander-in-chief because of some fifth column element inside the establishment?
Now, that's a very good question, because that's a little more problematic in answering. If you talk about the military, if Donald Trump loses the election, yes, I do see that. I see that there will be reluctance and pushback, some overt and some less public. But if he should win, then I think the chairman of Joint Chiefs, no matter what, is going to be relieved. I think the FBI leader will be relieved. I think the CIA director will probably be gone shortly. And he won't have any qualms about doing that. And I think they know that. And so, but if Donald Trump loses, I think they will feel they also have nothing to lose. But remember, these federal bureaucrats are very strange bunch. They can do all of this damage, but from the last second they're on the job, they're always convinced that no one would dare fire them. They're so important. So I think that the chairman and the directors of these they still will have a shred of hope that they can convince Donald Trump of their brilliance.
You have mapped just how unique a phenomena this non-politician is in your book, The Case for Trump, and in your fabulous pieces at American Greatness, the latest one describing him as a counter-revolutionary. Let me ask you the second phase question, if you will. If the president wins, if there is incredible mobilization, he's able to declare and then win it in the courts wherever there are challenges. As somebody who worked in the White House, as somebody who's on a Pentagon board for the president now, I think the only primary threat or the primary challenge will be in the second administration, not the questions of this policy or that policy, but the question of personnel and truly reining in the swamp so it does the wishes of whoever the president is, whether they're a Democrat or Republican or an independent. Do you have any advice? Do you have any? Do you agree with me that will be one of the major challenges? And if so, is there anything the president needs to do differently, God willing, in a second Trump term?
Yeah, I think to be frank, I think he was a bit naive, because he came in without a Republican establishment that was for him. So he was the first president in modern memory where both parties were against him.
Yes.
At least their elite were. And he hadn't been a creature of Washington. He made a lot of appointments of people who said one thing with the intention of doing the opposite. And they were. And then even when Ben Rhodes and those people went out of power, they left levers of power within these bureaucracies to thwart him. And I think they've got that's a windy answer, but the long and the short of it, they got wind of it. And I think they have areas that they're focusing on, and there's going to be some mass resignations if he should win in the fall immediately. And I would expect if Donald Trump were reelected, you would see big shakeups in the DOJ mid-level, the top echelons, the FBI.
But resignations, I think, are not enough. Shouldn't there be mass firings as well, Professor?
Well, that was a euphemism, Sebastian. I think
you mean a Washington resignation?
Yeah, they say you can resign in 24 hours, or we'll fire you in 36.
And then where will he bring the human capacity, the bench from to fill those resignations?
Well, just from what I gather from people who are being considered who talk about it, the questioning, the cross-examination, the ferreting out of one's political history is pretty intense now. So I think that they have gotten their idea that no matter what a person says, they're looking at their record, what they've done. And not in a McCarthyite way, just that, is this person the type of is he going to be another anonymous, a low-level obstructor or, sort of a whistleblower, pseudo-whistleblower? So, yeah, I think that's one of their chief agendas. I think they realized that that was a chief problem they had. I don't know if they knew how to correct it or not. I think they do now.
There will be no excuse the second time round. We just have to make sure that second time round occurs. The book is The Case for Trump. He is V.D. Hansen on Twitter. Professor, thank you so much. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network, broadcasting from just outside the insalubrious, fetid swamp that is Washington, D.C., and needs a lot of those quote-unquote resignations. Stay on this channel. FDNY firefighter Stephen Silver gave his life while saving others on 9/11, and the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been supporting America's frontline heroes ever since. When a first responder or military service member doesn't come home and young children are left behind, Tunnel to Towers pays off their mortgage to lift the financial burden and bring their family stability. For catastrophically injured veterans, Tunnel to Towers builds mortgage-free smart homes, enabling our most severely injured heroes to live more independent lives. I'm asking you to support this cause that's committed to honoring our nation's heroes and ensuring people never forget 9/11. Help Tunnel to Towers to do good. Donate $11 a month at tunnel2towers.org. That's tunnel2towers.org. Thank you.
Dr. G is in the house on America First.
We will take a moment. Thank you, Shad.
Goldfinger. He's the man with the Midas touch.
A spider's touch. Sorry for you on YouTube. You cannot hear the wonderful Shirley Bassey singing Goldfinger. And we do so to recognize probably Scotland's most famous export outside of single malt whiskey. It is Sean Connery, who passed after a good innings at the age of 90 at the weekend, surrounded by his family, the first and I think indubitably the best James Bond. Among several other roles he played, let's just name a couple of favorites. The Hunt for Red October as Commander Ramius. And then a really underrated movie, Highlander, where he played a peculiar peacock of an Egyptian with a Scottish accent, a man called Ramirez. Watch a Sean Connery movie tonight, because it might be the last thing you do in peace for the next few days. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. God bless you. Rest in peace, Sean Connery. We are back. We're going to take some of your calls. We have James Rosen, who broke the story of Hunter Biden's being under criminal investigation on Friday. He will be in studio. And the great, the irrepressible Sidney Powell, General Flynn's counsel, freedom fighter for the truth, will also be with us in studio. But we must take some of your calls. Before we do that, no, I'll save the Lady Gaga video for the next segment. Let's go to line four. Ken in Arizona. Welcome back, Ken.
Hello again, Sebastian. Today, I'm very hopeful for the future of America. And there's three things I'd like the president to address in his next term in office.
No, stop, Ken. First, you must share with our millions of listeners and viewers why you're feeling confident sitting in Arizona. Give us your read of the plan.
There seems to be more enthusiasm this time than the first time the president was elected. I saw in a little tiny town of Kingman, Arizona, a thing of tractor trailers, Yugos, and everything in between with giant flags attached to them yesterday, running to the streets of the city, honking their horns and screaming their lungs out.
So this is really crucial. I'm so glad you mentioned it, Ken, because I think this is absolutely empirical, an empirical observation. There was excitement last time, despite the fact that Hillary had it in a can, according to the mainstream media. But there is nothing like the levels of excitement now make 2016 pale by comparison. That is such an important observation. So, okay, so God willing, we do our part. Ken, everybody listening gets three of their friends to the voting stations tomorrow. And by the way, guys, crucial, crucial, crucial. You have got to be prepared to wait in line for hours. Go with friends, take something to read, take your headphones, whatever, listen to a book on tape, but bring food, bring water, and be prepared because we have to outlast them. So we do our part, and God willing, he gets reelected. So talk to us about the second term, Ken.
Second term, first and foremost, reestablish the rule of law for Mike the garbage truck driver all the way to the swamp creatures.
Right. Absolutely.
Number two, initiate antitrust and reclassification of social media so they can't play games about who they are and what they do anymore.
Bingo.
And lastly, examine the funding and the grants for higher education platforms as for the ones that shut down free speech.
Yep.
Those would be my wish list for the president. And if he did that, I would just think that I don't even know what I could think, but it would just be. It'd be a beginning of fixing a lot of problems we've had for a long time.
And I add one more thing. Start by draining the swamp of all the fifth column elements. Just fire them or move those departments out to the countryside, move them out to places outside of the swamp. And if people don't want to move, tough, then you must retire. Excellent, excellent menu. Ken, let's make sure, first things first, that he gets reelected. In the last few hours, as you're arguing, as you're convincing those who need to go and vote for the president, let me provide you with a special tool. It's by the great Bishop Aubrey Shines, who was on the show last week, founder of Conservative Clergy of Color. He's written the book, 8 Questions About Race. Get a copy, order some for your friends, neighbors, your fellow parishioners. 8questionsaboutrace.com blows the lies of Black Lives Matter out of the water. That's 8questionsaboutrace.com. Get as many copies as you need to win this rhetorical battle. 8questionsaboutrace.com. Portions of America First are brought to you in part by 8questionsaboutrace.com. We're going to go back to your calls in a moment on 833-33-GORKA, G-O-R-K-A. That's 833-334-6752. Broadcasting to you from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor, drug-free pain relief that actually works. Listen to Reggie from Florida. I have a lot of pain from aging, and after only 4 days of using Relief Factor, I'm already experiencing less pain and stiffness. Can't wait to see how I feel in a couple more weeks. Relief Factor is a blessing sent by God. Wow. Don't you deserve to find out if you could be the next Reggie? You know you do. You've waited long enough. Go now to ReliefFactor.com. Order your 3-week quick starter pack. You can call them on 800-500-8384. It'll be at your house in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening like I do. And I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of those 3 weeks, you'll know if it works for you like it works for Reggie, me, and thousands of your fellow Americans. ReliefFactor.com.
Portions of America First are brought to you in part by Job Creators Network.
You guys never let me down, and this year you've done it again. Thank you to all of you who gave so generously to the non-profit organization Alliance Defending Freedom that fights for all of our rights, our First Amendment rights, our religious freedom, and takes those cases all the way to the Supreme Court. God bless all of you. Thank you for making their fight possible because they work for free. If you didn't donate, we have decided to keep up the tab at our website open for a day or two longer. So please check out sebgorka.com. That's S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A, sebgorka.com. Make a donation because these are the fights, these are the battles that could affect all of us. Thank you. SebGorka.com and the ADF banner. We're going to go to your calls in a second, but I have to share with you the audio and a video from somebody called Lady Gaga, who is a small singer who hates you if you're a Trump voter, because at the weekend she posted a video dressed very strangely in kind of BDSM gear that was camouflage looking, standing in front of a pickup truck drinking from a can of beer, which she kind of pathetically tried to crush afterwards and throw on the ground. And I think she was trying to appeal to what she would call rednecks, I guess. Clearly, she thinks she's helping Joe Biden. But of course, it is indicative of how much they hate you if you're deplorable. Eric, play Cut 9.
Hey, this is Lady Gaga. I'm voting for America, which means I'm voting for Joe Biden. And if you live in Minnesota, Pennsylvania, Georgia, Michigan, Florida, or Arizona, I encourage you to vote. And if you have a friend that lives there, tell them to vote. I'm going to be in one of these states tomorrow. Guess which one I'll be in? Hint, I used to live there. Cheers to the 2020 election.
Yeah, that'll make me vote for you. And by the way, she's a lib. What's she doing? Throwing out an aluminum beer can. Tisk, tisk. But I guess it doesn't apply to you when you're a member of the elite. Let's go back to your calls. 833-33-GORKA. That's 833-334-6752. Bill in Los Angeles, line 4. Welcome, Bill.
Hi, Dr. Gorka.
Hey.
Hey, I was in high school, believe it or not, in 72 when Nixon blew away McGovern's campaign. And I sense a deja vu.
You do not. You do not sound old enough, Bill.
Well, thanks.
Wow. But, were you following political things when you were in high school?
Yes, because I was about to get drafted.
Wise man, wise man. So remind us what it was like back then, and why you're having shades of a little redux.
Well, it's interesting because as in 1972, there was an unpopular Asian-based war. And we've got the Asian-based China flu war going on now.
Yes.
And, and we had a centrist Republican. You know, Nixon was not a typical Republican, and he had heat from both sides. He also had a hostile media, as you remember.
Oh, yes.
Really. And I see lots of parallels, and people were thinking, okay, you know, people are not voicing their support for Nixon. But then, as you alluded to earlier, the silent majority, they came through and they just blew away McGovern, who was a doddering former senator with these left-wing, you know, very weak positions on everything.
So you think 48 years later, it's basically the same result? Is that what you're expecting tomorrow night?
You know, I don't want to predict anything, but it's sure looking like something like that, because these numbers are not making sense.
No.
Based on the 2016 results.
They absolutely do not. God bless you, Bill. Thank you for your service to this nation. Stay on the line. We want to give you a signed copy of The War for America's Soul, which, by the way, if you want a signed copy, just go to my website, sebgorka.com, S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A. We even have a swag store now. Did you know that? Yeah, we have a swag store. Bill, thank you for your call. Let's go to David, Arizona, line 5.
Hi, Dr. Gawker. How are you today?
Good. I'm very good.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, I just wanted to tell you, you're going to feel, as you would say, very jelly today. I stopped by a Don Jr. campaign stop this morning in Scottsdale.
Yes.
It was at Dillon Precision.
Oh,
and as you may know,
gosh, I know the reloading company. I'm going to be jelly. So tell me about it, David.
You are going to be MAGA jelly. So he was there. It was a great crowd, seriously. Hardware everywhere, 50 cal, Mustangs, Fords, helicopters.
Were they giving away 50 cals?
No.
Oh.
Well, maybe Don Jr. got one.
Maybe Don walked out there with something he could. The Dillon Precision. Dillon, oh my gosh. And what was the atmosphere like, David?
It was incredible. I was there, and I actually went to vote this morning. And on my way home, I got a text message to say he was there, which was right across the street. So that's where I went, and I didn't go to work today.
you sound really throaty. You sound like you've got a case of the mono. David couldn't go to work today. He was far too busy. Tell us, what was it like? How long did you have to wait in line to vote?
Actually, waiting in line about 5 minutes. It wasn't that bad.
Good.
It wasn't that bad. I didn't want to go tomorrow because I'm sure the lines are going to be epic.
Wise man, wise man. And I bet you were as annoyed as I was when I voted yesterday. Or day before yesterday, because of COVID, they're not giving out the little stickers. I love my I voted sticker.
I got too. I was like, I'm a little disappointed, but you know what? It's worth it, right?
It is. I'm so good. This is why we love our callers. We get the intel from the ground. He's out in Arizona. He's with Don Jr. He's at Dillon Precision. I'm a little bit jelly. But not that much, because I got my own 50 cal, and I love it. Barrett M82, this is America First on the Salem Radio. We should get some advertising from them. I love the Barrett. Can you advertise 50 cals? I think you can. I think we should. This is America First, coming to you live from just outside the insalubrious, fetid swamp that is Washington, D.C., from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor, drug-free pain relief that actually works. Do you know how synthetic painkillers actually function? They don't fix anything. They kill your capacity temporarily for your pain sensors to signal pain. They don't make things better. How about a product that attacks the root, the cause of your pain, which is the inflammation, which is exactly what Relief Factor does? Don't take my word for it. Go to the incredible video testimonials at ReliefFactor.com and order your 3-week quick starter pack. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening. And I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of those 3 weeks, you'll know if it works for you like it works for me and Gary in California. I cannot thank you enough. I'm 62 years old and have just started taking Relief Factor. I have never felt better and will recommend it to all my baby boomer friends. If you've tried everything else and you are still suffering, you have to try Relief Factor. What else have you got to lose? Nothing except your pain. You know it makes sense. As the president says, what have you got to lose? Do it now. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com.
Portions of America First are brought to you by Alliance Defending Freedom.
The studio's been invaded by people who know Mr. G, but they're not giving me the intel I need. I am most disappointed. What a waste of my time. Mr. G, get on the mic. What's your big question for tomorrow?
Who's going to cry first in the media?
And?
Brian Stelter.
Stelty boy! He's going to be crying into his duvet. What do you think? Eric, who's going to be crying first?
Obviously, Congressman Cenk Uygur.
Oh, Congressman Cenk Uygur, yes. Well, he should still be crying already because he lost. And the professor, Shadow of the Rack.
I'm going to go a huge Hail Mary on this one. Biden himself.
Ooh, we like that. Let's make that happen. Let's make them all cry. We want to hear the lamentation of their women. It's up to you guys. You've got to take three of your friends, relatives, co-workers, people you go to church with, to the polls. If you do that, we will win. Okay, let's go to Brent in Los Angeles, waiting very patiently. Line one.
A martini shaken, not stirred, and a Golden Walther PPK for you, Agent Gorka.
Thank you kindly. I have a PPK or two, but I don't have a golden one. So how are you feeling, Brent?
I'm feeling confident and optimistic. If all wise Americans vote, we have nothing to worry about. We overlook who President Trump's absolute number one biggest backer is. When President Trump proclaims promises made, promises kept, I recall what God promised 3,000 years ago. Those who bless the Jews shall be blessed, and those who curse the Jews shall be cursed. Well, President Trump, from day one, has repeatedly blessed the Jews, while the wicked Obama and Biden did and continue to do absolutely all they can to curse the Jews by promoting an Iranian nuclear bomb capability with which to again incinerate 6 million Jews in Israel. Truly, on Tuesday, who do you expect God to be voting for?
Well, that's a very, very important and very interesting way of looking at it, because the left hates it when I say this. Media matters. Are you ready? Warm up the typewriter. 2016 was proof that God exists. The woman who'd spent $1.4 billion on a position she thought was owed to her because of her gender and her last name was crushed by us and by a man who'd never run for political office before. And in the last 4 years, he's been very good to our very good friends, the Israelis. And he's done things that no other president could do, including his new peace deal. So, the big man is watching, as he always is. It's up to us to use our free will to make sure that we help that man do it again. God bless you all. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network, broadcasting from the ReliefFactor.com studios with me, Sebastian Gorka, member of the President's National Security Education Board. Get out there. Vote. Take your friends to vote. The left is melting down. They're panicking. And that's always a good sign. Back with James Rosen and Sidney Powell.